Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Welcome to Marathon Weekend. Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen. 48 schools either closed or delayed. Continuing cleanup efforts and power outages are the reason. Some of those are on flexible instruction, others not. And that may continue into early next week. Speaking of schools, student loan debt has come back to the forefront last week. Student loan payments are experiencing a significant shift with the resumption of forced collections for defaulted loans and potential overhaul of repayment plans. So if you dial back, people remember the Biden-era SAVE repayment plan tied payments to income, household size. That's paused. Legal challenges. Debt forgiveness has been off the table now.
Gosh, Larry, this story has changed so much over the last couple of years. It's dizzying to keep up with, and I can't imagine what it must be like for someone with a loan.
Adding to the fact that there was a pause because of COVID for several years.
And then that was lifted.
And so it leaves people with a lot of questions and a lot of anxiety. And joining us is Brian Walsh, who's a certified student loan expert, head of advice and planning at SoFi. Brian, welcome to KDK. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me today.
Yeah, to say there is a lot of confusion, stress, and anxiety when it comes to student loans is an understatement for many. So let's start with, if someone has a student loan now that's been paused and now regenerated, we're being told that if you don't pay, they're coming after you, right?
Yeah, so about a little over a year ago with federal student loans, really the expectation was that people would start making payments again on those loans. And starting on Monday, the involuntary collection effort is really going to come back into play because the federal government has more powers than, let's say, private lenders to get their money back. So things like tax refunds, government paychecks or payments, even, you know, garnishing wages can come back into play for people that defaulted on their student loans from the federal government.
And if, by the way, there's just a heads up because people are also saying there are nefarious individuals trying to take advantage of this opportunity with scams. There's all kind of scams going on too, and it's very confusing. So walk us through now, if someone wants to apply for a student loan moving forward, before we dial back a minute, how does that process work?
Yeah, really, if you're going to school and you're taking out a student loan to pay for the education, that process should go through the financial aid department and then, you know, going through the federal government to take out federal loans and then working directly with private lenders. Because a lot of times people have to take out private student loans because they can't borrow enough through the federal government. If you already have those loans, then you would want to work directly with your service provider, which is the company that sends you bills every single month for federal student loans, or with private lenders to explore the options. Because I think the restart of involuntary collections is certainly something that's grabbing headlines. Either way, I think people with the student loans should really take a step back and plan ahead to figure out what exactly is the best path forward for me to get out of this student loan debt.
And Brian, to that end, are any of these institutions, either the private banking or the federal loan providers, are they willing to work with people to get something that fits into a budget and eventually it can pay off the loan?
Great question, Paul.
Yeah, what we've seen working one-on-one with members and clients is there are options to really figure out how to make your student loan payment fit within your budget. If you have federal student loans, even though the SAVE plan is currently held up in the courts, there still are three different income-driven repayment options available. And with income-driven repayment with federal student loans, it really caps your payments to a certain percentage of your income. So you could explore those payments through your service provider. You could also look at maybe an extended schedule on federal student loans where maybe you stretch the payments from the standard 10 years to 20 plus years to make those payments lower. Or you could look at potentially refinancing with a private lender to stretch out that repayment term, potentially lower your interest rate, which could help your payment. So there are options for people to really lower their payment to get it fit in their budget. The key is that they look at it and they take a step back and then really develop that plan of attack to say, what am I going to do to help this fit into my overall finances?
Here's something really important to note. Borrowers who are in default need to arrange a payment plan or sign up for loan rehabilitation with the Education Department by Monday. If repayments are not made, borrowers could face wage tax refund and benefit garnishment and a nasty hit to the credit score. So this isn't something people can put off like so many people were able to do during and post COVID, right, Brian?
Exactly. This is, and unfortunately, the latest numbers I've seen, there's about 5 million borrowers that are currently in default on their federal student loans. So this is definitely something to proactively address, because if you put your head in the sand and act like it doesn't exist, then the decision gets made for you. And a lot of those options, quite frankly, aren't very good for the borrower. So you're better off, you know, proactively addressing this.
All right. And appreciate your time this morning, Brian. Important information.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Brian Walsh, a certified student loan expert, head of advice and planning for SoFi. Some people, Paul, were waiting to see what would happen. If there was forgiveness, great for them. Many people were against that if they weren't the beneficiaries, and I get that too. However, doesn't look like that's going to happen. So some cases you may explore taking whatever student loans that you have through a government source and maybe privatizing it, to Brian's point, to stretch out those payments, because you make a great point. Not everybody can afford the monthly.
Well, I mean, we're looking at a massive increase in what we're spending on everything else. I mean, it's a 20% inflation on so many different things, consumer items I'm talking about. And so, Larry, it's much more expensive to live. And this is with people who are fairly new to the workforce and their income is not rising. It's not at the level that they're going to be when they're in their 40s and their 50s, their prime earning years. And so it's no wonder that they're looking to refinance and get a lower payment. And it's even further no wonder to me that people are asking the question before they go to college, can I afford this?
It used to be, you know, years ago that was the case. And then for a long time, it was just like, no, just go. We'll fill it in the gaps. You'll get some grants here,
right?
Federal loans here. And then you can fill in the rest with private loans that they gave very easily. So there are many culprits, in my opinion, involved in making it for people who really can't afford it. And yet.
And so if you're going to spend X number of thousands of dollars to get a degree in a particular field, how soon can you expect to pay that back? And is what you're going to be earning worth that much expenditure in terms of the scholastic end of it, right?
Very important questions. But this, if you are in default with a student loan,
Monday's the day.
Monday's that you got to make sure you stay in contact, and you can create a payment plan, but don't disengage. Otherwise, apparently, They're coming after you. 7:15 at KDK from the PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement Traffic Center. AAA traffic powered by Bowser Genesis of Monroeville. Let's get the latest on the commute with Ellen Gamble.
Okay, thanks, Larry. As we're looking around with the PennDOT cameras this morning, noticing some slow traffic heading up onto the outbound lower deck of the Four Pit Bridge, which is kind of an evening rush hour kind of thing. So we checked with the tunnels, and they are open. Everything's moving. Just the volume of traffic there is causing you some sluggish traffic as you're in that bathtub section of the Parkway East, and then coming up also from the lower deck of the Fort Duquesne Bridge across the Portal Bridge there. Parkway West inbound, you're getting in line right around the top of Green Tree Hill as you head toward the Fort Pitt tunnels. Traffic light delays on the build behind the Liberty tunnels on 51 and West Liberty Avenue, and the Parkway East inbound is slow between Wilkinsburg and Edgewood Swiss Vale. Our next AAA traffic on the fives at 7:25. I'm Ellen Gamble on 100.1 FM and AM 1020 KDKA.
And more of the same in terms of the possibility for some thunderstorm activity, and above normal high of 76 today, 66 tomorrow. And in between, a chance for showers off and on. Any thunderstorm, though, could produce downpours and localized damaging wind gusts are always a possibility with any thunderstorm, though. I stress we're not anticipating a return of what we had on Tuesday, widespread. Drive at 5, top stories. Driving the news every weekday afternoon with Colin Dunlap. Brought to you by ServiceMaster of Greater Pittsburgh Demand, the yellow van. Just talking about student loans and money. Money is her business. She is the controller for the city of Pittsburgh, Rachel Heisler, with a report on the finances for our great city. Rachel, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. How are you? Hanging in there?
Yeah, it's been a long week for everybody. And
yeah, of course.
And we think about all the people still without power and dealing with that. That's first and foremost in the cleanup. Otherwise, we have the Pittsburgh Marathon, which is going to bring a lot of people to the city and bring a lot of revenue, right? Some tax money will be coming our way.
Yes, and Pitt's graduation is also this weekend, and I do want to acknowledge the pain and struggle that everybody's going through right now. There's a lot of folks without power, and the timing of this report is required per the Home Rule Charter. So I don't want anyone to think that this was something we were intending to release 2 days after a very significant and dangerous storm. The governing document for our city, it dictates that this comes out on or before May 1, and the timing this year just worked out to not complement everything else happening. So, I'm glad to be here to talk about city finances.
And with that said, and I appreciate you letting us know so people do understand, this is mandated. And for those that don't know, what does a controller do?
So the controller in the city of Pittsburgh is the third branch of government, right? The mayor is the executive, the legislative branch is city council, and that check and balance on the rest of city government is the city controller. So all money that leaves the city comes through our office and we're accountable for. So we produce the annual financial report of record for the city. It's called the Annual Comprehensive Financial Report, which I'm sure you think is very creative. I agree. And the using the cash basis, which is what you hear about in the news, and what folks in the media and people post on Facebook, what they really refer to. So using the cash basis, the city of Pittsburgh collected $703.6 million in 2024 and spent $699.7 million, which is an increase over budget of $681 million. So what does that mean? Well, first and foremost, the $699 million does not include transfers out because they're not considered expenditures. So this the city transferred an additional $35 million to programs like the URA's Housing Opportunity Fund, the Housing Bond Issuance, and the Stop the Violence Fund. I've been saying for the last year and a half that 2024 was going to be okay, and the summary is that 2024 is okay. The most concerning part is where we're headed, right? 2025 through 2029 are going to be very tight years financially for the city of Pittsburgh. We also have an issue where there doesn't appear to be a plan to raise additional revenue or to control those costs. So, you know, a structural deficit is defined when expenses are rising without matching revenue growth. And I'm worried that we're headed in that direction. So part of this report is just to let folks know what's going on with city finances. It's an annual event. And because it happens on May 1st, we're able to provide that look into 2025. And our concerns are that we've articulated over the course of the last year and a half, it appears that they're coming to fruition. And we really need to be careful, because if you don't have any padding in your budget, you can't, it's hard to make those necessary decisions. And we raised our red flag about 2 weeks ago about overtime. Those costs are going to continue to go up because of what's happening around us right now and any other events that happen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
That are unplanned for, which is the definition of public safety or public works. That's when those folks work those overtime hours during unexpected events. So we just really need to be careful moving ahead.
Rachel, if I understand it right, the city wound up taking in about $11 million less revenue than was forecast. And yes. And so there's that trend is going to be projected into the next several years. And I also understand that your line of thinking is that the city is going to have to reduce services or reduce expenditures or a combination of the two to cope with what you're saying is going to happen in the future.
Yeah. So first and foremost, we do need to get more creative and figure out new sources of revenue. The city residents are already very highly burdened by municipal government. 50% of all revenue comes directly from city residents through the wage tax and through property taxes. So we need to figure out as a government, right? So this is the mayor, the city council, and the controller, how to bring in more revenue. And a lot of that can go back to growth. And how do we bring more people into the city of Pittsburgh? And then the other thing we have to do is look at expenditures. And, you know, the budget already dictates that we're going to see a lot less in fleet acquisition, which is the vehicles that you see driving around, picking up all this garbage, right, and all the debris, and the medic vehicles, the fire trucks. And we're going to see, reduced services if we don't get that. We can't figure out how to collect more revenue. There's no other way around it.
We're with Rachel Heisler, the controller for the city of Pittsburgh. That said, we do have one giant one-off event which should produce some monies, and that it would be the draft next year, but that's only a one-off, and hard to say how much money that'll raise for the city. But
a lot of those, and the draft is awesome. And I think everybody should be really, really excited. I know that the folks were up there last week in Green Bay. A lot of those direct revenue streams do go to the county, not the city, the hotel fees, the car rental fees, the drink tax, et cetera. But I'm hoping that, that ancillary revenue through folks visiting restaurants and bars and people working all weekend will be a boon to city finances. But it also is going to cost money, right? Overtime for law enforcement, overtime for first responders, overtime for public work. So we just need to be mindful and have a plan to deal with these costs.
Unlikely that in an election year, the taxes would be announced going up, but it is a potential for the future, it sounds like.
I think that if we're smart, we can avoid a tax increase. I think as I mentioned earlier, the liabilities and the cost of city government falls overwhelmingly heavy on the shoulders of city residents. So I would like us to do anything that we can to prevent that from happening. But we do need a plan to bring in more revenue.
Rachel, appreciate your time this morning. Thank you. Have a great weekend and more to come.
Stay safe, Larry. Thank you.
All right. Rachel Heisler again, the controller for the city of Pittsburgh. On the finances, you kind of get what she's saying, and that sounds like basically every household too, in the sense that city or otherwise, just dealing with rising costs and trying to budget.
Absolutely. If she's raising red flags at the time they need to be raised instead of after the fact, which is you know, typical with our society and our government. We usually respond to problems after they become problems.
So we'll see where this leads. This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard, anchorman Paul Rasmussen. I mentioned a couple of key dates, and I want to reiterate that. A couple of people have asked, what about student loans? If you're in default already, then Monday is an important day because that is what the government's telling us is the last day for you to make a deal. You've got to show your willingness to repay your loan, and they will create payment plans, apparently. But if you do not, then it goes to a different level, which is going to be far more costly over time.
The last thing someone needs in a situation like this is their check to be garnished by the government.
Yeah, I always thought it was interesting where they charge people with lower credit scores more money. It's kind of an oxymoron. That said, it's a date you can't overlook. Now, that's Monday, Cinco de Mayo. 2 days later, you have heard about this for years, and it got kicked down the road during COVID a number of times. Real ID, the deadline. Now, TSA is saying 3 hours minimum if you're flying on May 7th and then moving forward until, you know, this goes through the process, because here's what's going to happen. People are going to go to the airport. Some people didn't get their real ID or do not have a passport. You will not be allowed to fly domestically. That means when you get to the airport and you're going through those TSA lines, there's going to be a lot of stoppages, and you can't even imagine the delays, Paul.
There's no telling, Larry. I mean, look at it this way. What a small sample size, the number of people who show up at an airport checkpoint with a gun, right? And after all the media coverage and everything that's been said about this, and even the establishment of TSA over, how long has it been now? I mean, decades, right?
Yeah, two decades.
A couple of decades. And yet there are still people who will bring a gun to the airport unaware that they have it, or, you know, that's what they say. But can you imagine the number of people? Now, we're not talking about a weapon here. We're talking about your ID. How many people out of 10 or out of 100 will not have a real ID
or a passport.
Yeah. So how many? I mean, I don't know what to expect. I mean, we've heard estimates from, well, for example, down in Kentucky, one of the lawmakers down in Kentucky said that they basically have like 30% of their population does not have a real ID.
How many?
30. He said, basically, we're not ready. We need an extension on this thing. And here in Pennsylvania, as you know, we've done that our way as well. And, oh, my. But can you imagine the number of angry, upset travelers there are going to be at the airport when they realize that they can't get where they're going to be going?
And the TSA agents are going to say, we told you this was coming. You've had years to prepare, and yet you're unprepared. Do you see the lines for people trying to get the real ID now?
Mm-hmm.
Some are insufferable and people just kind of have given up.
Yep.
Now, that said, I think what's missed in all of this is May 7th is the deadline. And then from May 7th on, you have to have a real ID or passport to fly domestically. However, you can still get your real ID beyond May 7th. But if you're flying anytime soon, it's going to be an issue.
Yeah.
So that's the key. The other thing, and somebody asked me, well, what about kids, Larry? Anyone 18 and older has to have the real ID. So anyone younger does not. So if you've got kids, at least you don't have to worry about that part of it.
You know, Larry, I was hoping what would happen, one of our coworkers in the newsroom suggested a couple of weeks ago that to deal with this problem when people show up in great numbers without a real ID, that they're given a warning and some type of form that says, you can't fly again. We're going to let you do it this one time only, and you can come back. But after that, if you don't have one, we're going to turn you away. At least they could give people like a speeding ticket or a warning, right? There's a lot of speeding tickets to hand out, right?
It'll be interesting to see how they handle this And again, this is next Wednesday.
And they may have a plan that they're not talking about right now because, you know, they want people to go get one.
I'm hearing TSA will not accept temporary paper cards issued by states as proof of identity, even if you've already applied but haven't received your real ID card yet.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's another thing to keep in mind. So the bottom line is, if you want to travel by air, if you got a passport, you're cool, but you should also get a real ID. And if you don't, you will be denied boarding on an aircraft.
And I don't know what the situation is now, but I know that not too long ago, getting a passport was, you know, pretty timely.
It's better now. I just had mine renewed a couple of months ago, and I didn't expedite it or pay extra, and it renewed very quickly. I was actually surprised.
Okay, how much time are we talking when you say very quickly?
For me, it was 2 weeks.
Okay, but what I'm saying is that 2 weeks is way too long to wait for the people.
Oh, you mean for Wednesday?
Right.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it's not timely. It's time-consuming, and you don't have that time.
Here's what you tell the
TSA
agents.
You don't go for a passport instead. It's not a workaround.
You just, when you get up to the TSA agent, you say, I ain't no terrorist. I'm just from Pittsburgh.
I love it.
I mean, it's going to be, it has to be chaos. It's some level.
I can only imagine. I can't wait to see what happens. I hope people surprise us.
Here comes the mega bus.
Wow. No kidding.
Oh my gosh. This is going to be epic. And keep in mind, frankly, this is inefficiency of the federal government in exponential ways, because this was generated after 9/11.
Oh yeah. It's been over 20 years that we've been shooting for this.
24 years ago.
And not hitting the target.
They decided that they wanted to have people with this level of identification proof, real ID, and it wasn't instituted. It was going to be right around COVID, and then because of COVID, they kept kicking it down the road because people didn't want to go and, you know, get near anybody. And here we are, 2025, and they say they're not moving the deadline this time. So, but the inefficiency in the bureaucracy of the federal government in this issue.
Breathtaking, isn't it?
It's not a party. This isn't, I'm not saying one side or the other, because both parties have been in office through this process.
Oh, no, we've all contributed our tax dollars equally to a bureaucracy that sometimes doesn't function. And I don't mean to say that some people pay, you know, equal taxes. I'm saying that all of us have paid in for what we're getting. And you're right about it. There are no party labels to put on this thing.
You know what you say to all of this is, come on, man. This is as good as we can do.
From the Goldberg, Persky & White News Desk, just under 100,000 customers are still without power this morning. The question many are asking, how much longer without electricity?
And we've heard varying reports. We, on Wednesday, heard Duquesne Light say then 5 to 7 days.
And that seventh day is Tuesday of next week. And a lot of people are seeing that on the Duquesne website as the day they'll have restoration, or at least by that day.
Yeah, and a lot of people, because of that, had to, as we say in Pittsburgh, throw out the food.
Right, and so Giant Eagle and Coons Market stores are offering customers a 15% discount on almost all groceries, but on one day, Sunday.
So get there early, but appreciate the gesture. Some people are like, hey, why don't they give us more? For those that don't know, the grocery business is on a razor-thin profit margin of 1% to 2%.
Mm-hmm.
So they're giving you 15%, with some exceptions like alcohol, tobacco, those kind of things. But foodstuffs, 15% is significant if you're buying all your groceries because you had to get rid of everything in your fridge.
Yep. And a 20-year-old man who fell from the Clemente Wall at PNC Park has been identified.
His name is Kevin Marwood, a graduate of South Allegheny High School, and by all accounts, at very least, a highly successful athlete.
Yes, a standout is what they called him in a release. Turns out that Kevin was, in his senior year, the MVP of his football team. And I guess he played some football in college as well.
And at this point, he is still in critical condition.
A lot of praise for Kevin in the releases from the school.
And we'll keep you posted.